Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number 145 with me, Michael Coxon, with my good friend Daniel Silva.
Yay!
With my acquaintance, Andy Franks.
Hey. I'm just an acquaintance.
And with Jim Staples.
Hey. You're nothing. You're not
well, you're nothing to me. You're that one. No, I love you all dearly like brothers.
It means nothing to me. Who sang that?
Vienna. It was by Ultravox.
Oh, yeah, it was a cult.
Yeah.
It means nothing to me.
Anyway, on to some football. How are we all doing? We all right?
Yes.
I've got a fact. You like a fact to start
yes.
the show? I've got a fact to start the show.
Is it to do with the show number?
It isn't, but it's to do with something relevant for today's sort of football calendar.
Okay.
On this day in 2007, Jose Mourinho took charge of what looked like his last game in charge of Chelsea when they drew 1-1 at home against Rosenborg in front of a paltry 24,973 fans. Andrei Shevchenko spared the blushes with his headed goal, but yeah. So
he'd had a bad start to the season.
He'd had a pretty average start to the season, yeah. And I think the straw that broke the Russians' back was the draw with Rosenborg. But then, what, 6 years on, he's back taking charge of his first Champions League game today. Of his new spell against Basel. So there you go.
So that was his last game in charge.
That was his last game in charge. He got sacked on the Thursday and Avram Grant took over and then they played United on the Sunday.
So he had Shevchenko up front in his last game.
Yeah.
Who's he going to have up?
He might have Torres, another one of the
elders. Well, that's what I mean. So, what, Torres, Eto'o or Bar?
Demba Bar, yeah.
None of which
I don't think Bar's fit, is he? And Eto'o looks pretty rusty.
Well, Demba Bar came out the other day saying he was ready to go to Arsenal during the transfer window. But
he did. Arsenal or Chelsea?
Arsenal
or... Torres is raring to go.
He's been raring to go for about 3 years.
Schürrle is raring to go. They're obviously playing very well.
Well, they're all a bunch of eggs, according to Mourinho. Yeah. But fuck knows. Anyway, let's talk about some football that's happened before we talk about football that's going to happen. Weekend. We start the weekend. It looked like a terrible bunch of fixtures. Turned out to be a pretty insipid bunch of fixtures.
Did anyone watch West Ham Southampton?
Oh god.
Fucking hell.
No.
luckily
I put it on just to give it a little go.
My mate came round who I hadn't seen for ages for a catch up, and we're like, I'll stick it on in the background while we're having a chat.
That's exactly what we did.
Safe to say I completely ignored it the entire time, and the only, what was it, a couple of saves from Jaskalainen.
Yeah. And actually, Jaskalainen was man of the god. Match really,
wasn't
yeah.
It? Well, he was officially.
I was here as yeah.
Well, because no one else did anything fucking, did they? It was just, it was absolutely abysmal. It was nearly as bad as Man United Chelsea. But it was made up for on the Monday night game, that's for sure.
Well, it was
what a cracker.
Yeah, I know.
0-0.
I take it we're talking about Jamie Carragher versus Gary Neville here after the match. That was fantastic.
There was some great moments from that post match analysis, wasn't there?
Gary Neville's face, and both when Carragher said what he said about Gerrard and Scholes, and his face when Carragher said that no one grew up wanting to be Gary Neville.
It's brilliant. But he's right.
Well, to be fair...
To be fair to Neville, he didn't say... He just took that on the chin.
Yeah.
Just kept giggling.
Although,
to be fair,
a friend of my mother's, her son, when he was little...
His son.
What,
hang on.
This tenuous link
that
you just said?
This tenuous link...
Can you not just say...
That's our Arsenal supporting friend. Thankfully, he's gone. I know.
Can you not just say, I know someone?
Okay, I know someone whose son...
When he was about
four and got United shirt, wanted Gary
Glenn.
Neville on
right,
there.
Let's hear from
God,
Glenn.
All right, we've got Glenn.
This is a professional show we're recording here, guys.
I see Drew's going to finish. Love is cool.
We've got two octogenarians interrupting us.
We've got a West Ham fan and an Arsenal fan.
It's Dan
Silver's. Whose phone's that? That's not really relevant, is it?
Right, it's a shame. Why was he born so beautiful?
By the way, I'm
Bloody hell.
Orient to make it 8 wins out of 8
at the weekend.
Playing on Monday.
Yeah. But there we go. Speaking of Orient, fantastic how they're doing at the moment. 7 wins out of 7.
Outrageous.
Out
we're playing them on Monday night.
Tranmere last season, I was going to say, yeah.
How bad is Sheffield United doing? 4 points they've got.
It's a worse shame, than that Bristol City. They only got a point last night against Shrewsbury. They still haven't won a game. There's three teams in that league that hasn't won a game. Gillingham, Notts County and Bristol City.
Yeah.
Bristol City, their squad is fantastic. I am top four, top five.
Speaking of 4 points, how well, and I know this might be a tender subject for you after the weekend's result, but how well are Coventry doing?
It's brilliant to see, isn't it? Great for their fans.
I think Presley and Slade will be my managers of the season so far.
Yeah.
And I say Orient might not, like, we're talking about them doing a tremor. I really hope they don't. I really hope they stick up there, because they're a proper club. Oh yeah, like, I don't know, you've got your own ambitions for promotion, like, but being a fan of a team that's going to be nowhere near that, it's fantastic to see what they do, because they've got they've got Kevin Lisby, but he's like 32, 33.
They're a club that's assembled players pretty much how Yeovil did last season, with very little money, but they've put a nice squad together.
They've put a squad together which is capable of being at the top end of that league, but I don't think they'd be where they are now. I don't think most Leon Owen fans would.
But
they've got some decent players. They've got Lisby, they've got Vincelot, who was at Brighton. Very good player. He set up a couple of goals at the weekend actually when they beat Port Vale. But
Mooney that plays there as well.
Yeah, they've got a few. They're strong at the back as well. That's what they're doing.
They've got two strikers on something like six goals or something like that.
Yeah.
That helps. Got obviously goals win games, and they
get you promoted. They're only getting 4,500 in the league. I don't know what the attendance was last night, but they had Port Vale on Saturday, and they only had 4,500 there. And I mean, Port Vale brought 4,500 down as well. So,
but I mean, for Orient, it's very difficult, isn't it?
Because
you've got Arsenal, you've got Spurs, you've got West Ham,
that's the same for an awful lot of clubs up and down the country.
I think probably really hard for Barnet and Leighton Orient, though, particularly where they are.
Yeah, definitely. But you also, I mean, you look up and down the country at clubs like, say, Stockport, who've got two big clubs on their doorstep, or Tranmere.
Or Brentford, you know, we've got Fulham and Chelsea. So
one big club there.
Cambridge City. They've obviously got Cambridge United on their doorstep. That's got to be hard. Cambridge United flying high, actually, in the Skrill Premier.
Yeah.
As a quick note on the Skrill Premier, did anybody by any chance see the Salisbury versus Chester game?
Not just on the off chance I saw the Salisbury Chester game.
Did you? You know, was anyone watching?
No, I wasn't. Just I wasn't just
Has
sort of walking
what
past.
Happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually haven't. Yes. So go on.
Well, you don't know, but midway through the game, finished 1-1.
Oh, you're just parachuting this into.
Yeah.
It's a little clue.
In more
there.
Way than not, because a parachute is literally landed on the pitch. But it's the way he scooped up his parachute and just calmly sort of walked off the pitch. He wasn't. He didn't
well, I don't think he meant to do it.
No. Well, a lot of the time it does happen. Like, famously, the Evander Holyfield Riddick bow fight in 1993 going on to boxing. Someone purposely parachuted in.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Parachute himself.
In between them two.
He got the Evander Holyfield's
He got the shit kicked out of him by the crowd.
Yeah, by the crowd when he tried to get out. Yeah.
Brilliant. Didn't someone injure themselves doing it at Villa Park a couple of years ago?
Someone
as well.
Did it at.
Like, broke their neck or something.
Someone
it was
did
Villa
it
Park.
Somewhere abroad and died.
It was Villa Park.
No, but it wasn't Villa Park there where I'm thinking of another one. It was like.
It wasn't a new defender, was it? Because he's out for the season.
He is, yeah. A Kobe or whatever it is. A Pokey.
Started really well for them.
Yeah, another defender out for the season, and then some, is Oldham Athletic. You see that?
They're a defender.
Joe Cooper, the young Tipsers, quite a young rising star, has sacked off football altogether and gone off to study economics instead.
Fair enough.
Well, right. I played to Oliver Gill at United, did that a few years ago when he was on the edge of the first team.
It's quite interesting. Like, there's a little quote from him saying, you know, it might look really great and glamorous being a professional footballer. Or from the outside looking in, but sometimes actually it's not all that cracked up to be, and I'd rather go and get a degree and do something else in my life.
He'll probably be able to go on and play part-time somewhere down the league, where if he wants to
keep
playing
but
football,
it's just like an 18-year-old professional football player deciding just to sack it, or who is tipped for big things, supposedly.
Also talking about defenders, do you remember I said to you there was a player made his debut, was it Accrington? Did anyone write it down?
No.
I'll go with Accrington, but he made his debut. No, sorry, it was Newport. I think it was Newport County. Made his debut for Newport County on loan.
Oh, defender. Brilliant. Yeah.
Scored two own goals and conceded their last minute penalty and lost 3-2.
Yeah.
Oh, so John Joe Shelby's done nothing on that, lads. He's done nothing else at the other end either. He's just conceded three goals for us. He scored two himself and given him a last minute penalty.
He scored at the other end as well, didn't he? Didn't he score a header as well?
I just remember fleetingly seeing.
Similar, because John Walters did that for Stoke last season. He scored two own goals and
missed
a
penalty. Yeah,
that was terrible.
But but going back to well before we were rudely interrupted to Monday night's game, I mean, John Joe Shelby.
hero and villain.
Well, he was, you know, he was involved in the game from start to finish. Goals aside, he was really prominent for Swansea. He had a good game for him. He made two errors.
Yeah, but two absolute howlers.
Yeah.
Well, no, okay, sorry, one absolute howler.
Say, the second one. Sorry, the
second
one. Halfway,
second one. Yeah. Yeah, but the second one was a shit ball. You can't give the ball away there.
No, agreed. It was a terrible pass, but.
So yeah, the first one was an absolute howler. Second one was a shit pass that cost him dearly. But
the fact is, he's in central midfield, so he should be involved. But you know, he never went missing throughout the whole of the 90 minutes. And afterwards, the interview with him, I mean, he was really, really, really honest, wasn't he? I thought he was going to start crying.
Well, when they lined up for the second half,
put a mirror in front of him.
Yeah. Fucking hell. But the pictures came back live for the second half, and you saw him waiting for kickoff. And the commentators were saying, you know, he needs to get his head back in the game, you know, switch
he
back on.
Though.
No, but look on his face. How on earth the manager thought he was all right to go back out? Because he was just stood there shaking his head, looking like he was about to cry. And you're like, fuck me, like he does not look like his head is in the game at all. Then he gave the ball away again for the second goal, didn't he? And then luckily he redeemed himself with a fantastic run and a knockdown for the second goal.
Yeah.
And he saw how much it meant to him as well, which was...
Do you know, it's still great to see Swansea. I mean, Loudrop's really got them playing good football. They've had a really hard start to the season.
They have,
but they looked pretty average. In those games, they still looked average.
I think everyone talks about how great Swansea play football, and they do.
No, but they play with the right attitude.
They haven't played well at all.
I think what people forget is they're not that good a team. They are not maybe a top six team. They could improve to that, and it's great to play nice football. They've got some fantastic players like Michu and Boney and Shelby.
I like Britton as well.
Leon Britton's a great player.
Yeah.
But they're not quite that level yet, and people get carried away saying play the Swansea way. Someone came out and said England should play like Swansea. But
oh, they are, aren't
they? Yeah, it's just a bit daft. You look, actually, there was in the paper this morning, there was a league table of the last 16 Premier League games. I think Swansea is second bottom. I think only Sunderland, not including the promoted teams, were below.
But they've had a real tough start to the season.
Yeah, but they also dropped off massively last season.
Well, let's see how they do it the weekend. I mean, are they playing Sunderland or something?
Well, Sunderland, yeah.
Is it Sunderland they're playing? No, Sunderland or West Brom, aren't they?
It's high, isn't it? They're playing Sunderland.
Yeah. Did anyone see the Josie Altidore incident?
Oh, that's absolutely horrific.
I do feel sorry for Di Canio, really, really horrific
refereeing.
Well, my thing with that is, the referee
more than done one that count.
Remember the Champions League final, Arsenal, where Barcelona scored and Lehmann got
Bellezzi's
sent off.
Was it?
When Lehmann got sent off,
yeah,
Barcelona went through and scored. I think Juve scored, but the ref brought it back for the foul.
Yeah,
and Barcelona didn't get the goal. But the problem is, I can't remember who it was who fouled for Arsenal, but
Sanya,
but he didn't get sent off.
No, he
clearly stopped a goal-scoring opportunity.
Yep.
Ergo, he should be sent off.
Very true. It was quite funny to watch. Like, they literally had like the old WWF grappling match.
Yeah.
Like running into the box.
Strong bastard, though, isn't he?
Oh, I mean, massive, Alfredo. He's actually massive.
Yeah, yeah.
And just shrugged him off and put it in the back of the net. And you can understand why. I mean, Di Canio was livid. But and to be honest, that would have been 2-2 with about 10 minutes to go, I think.
Different game.
Premier League. Alright, we'll stop talking Premier League. Champions League's back.
No. Yeah. No. The worst two fouls.
Worst two fouls,
the weekend, go on. Number one, the Lancashire Derby, Burnley versus Blackburn.
Don't you start at number two and then work your way up to number one?
No, he's got a point there.
Alright, number two, Reading versus who are they playing at home?
I looked at this morning because Pogrebniak got sent off.
He got sent off for diving. Second,
was it Brighton?
Diving. It was Brighton.
Yeah.
And 0-0, wasn't it?
The challenge got a straight red. It was 0-0 with Dolby. Yeah. But he got a straight red to Pogrebniak, just been sent off.
Who?
About 10 minutes. Yeah. 10 minutes before. This lad, look at it. He just comes in and he just kung fu kicks him. Like, the guy's standing up and he kicks his head.
Oh,
sounds like our keeper the weekend before.
And the Brighton manager just went, good decision. I'm on number one now.
Well, no, because just speaking of Pogrebniak, just on Pogrebniak. I don't think we're going to bring up Pavel Pogrebniak again, but he's going to start a reality TV show with his wife Masha.
And apparently
look her
up.
Masha.
Yeah.
Apparently she's going to be like the next big thing.
Right, stop the suspense. I want to know who's number one now.
Who is number one?
Which game is it from?
All dimensions.
Better than a kung fu kick.
Lancashire Derby.
There we go.
Burnley versus Blackburn. It finished 2-2, I believe.
Or, early kickoff, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was the best game on TV by a country mile the whole weekend because it was on Sky. And it was right at the end of the game.
I'll tell you what, BT Sport, fucking rubbish coverage.
Burnley fellas clean through, and the guy just completely chops him. Comes across him.
What,
just,
Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer style?
He's proper like little clip of his legs, and obviously goes straight up. But the guy was clean through from the halfway line. Blackburn were pouring forward. He was one on one with the keeper basically, and the guy's just absolutely done it. But if you're a Blackburn fan, played, mate, because he was gone past him. The only thing he could do. A little crib of the heels.
It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. That's why Solskjaer was a United legend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that.
And then stand down of the weekend.
Well, no, I think Solskjaer did something else to earn his legend.
But that's how it started.
Stand down of the weekend. You see, Blackburn had to substitute their right back.
What for?
Blackpool, sorry, had to substitute their right back.
I didn't.
You've seen this?
This was last night, wasn't it?
No. Saturday they got. Who did they play? It was Blackpool, wasn't it? No, Millwall beat Blackpool last night.
Yeah.
Millwall played.
That's not stand up.
Millwall played Derby
on Saturday, and Derby had to substitute their right back because of the crowd. He gave a little gesture. No, worse than that. He gave a little gesture when Derby scored their third or fourth because they beat them 5-1, and the fans on that.
What
side
was the little gesture?
I don't know. But he obviously made a.
I don't think it was a thumbs up.
Right.
Yeah. And he plays right back. Anyone that's been to the Den as an away fan will know on the left hand side is where you
don't
want
to play there.
Where you get your absolute
it's the corner of hate.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's done that, and then he got the ball again, got a foul given against him, and they were about to come onto the pitch. So the team manager just said, right, we're winning the game 4-1.
Yeah.
It was 3-1 at the
Take
time.
Him off.
Took him off.
Jesus
so the crowd
Christ.
Influenced the game that much that they took him off.
It's outrageous.
Whilst the play was down as well, someone got onto the pitch and ran up to Clough. Had to be reprimanded. Then they ran across the pitch and then jumped into the stand and got away. So he's gone onto the pitch. He's gone up to the opposition manager, tried to push him. The Derby assistant manager is like threatening.
It's like something out of Green Street, isn't it?
So he's run over the pitch to the other side of the pitch, jumped back into the stand, gone down the stand, fucked off, and gone home.
Yeah, they'll get him eventually. As you well know, Jim, the CCTV can pick people out from crowds.
Quickly going back to defenders getting red cards. Red cards of the weekend. Funny one. Well, I say funny one. It could be
funny one. The Palace one was pretty funny.
Which one was that?
Jukaya.
Oh no! That was fucking ridiculous. But no, FC.
It was a red card.
Shut up, Coxon. FC Groningen defender Timo Leschert, after getting sent off in the game before.
This is brilliant. I love this. Sorry, carry on.
Thank you for reaffirming that the story I'm about to tell you didn't interrupt me. It's brilliant. So
random interruption.
Seeing here.
It made me laugh this morning, and it's making me laugh again.
So he'd got sent off the game before. 10 minutes in, he's absolutely launched into this other challenge as well. I don't think it was a straight red. It was a pretty shit challenge. But anyway, he's got a straight red. In realising he's got a straight red, sort of, I think similar to when Stephen Taylor handballed it on the line and then went down clutching his ribs as if he'd been shot. The player apparently fainted. After getting the red card, showing the red card,
pretended to faint,
and
pretended,
had to get carried off the pitch on a stretcher
because
he
pretended. Just from the evidence.
Well,
it was fine. He got up, protested, and then suddenly went, "Oh, I feel a bit faint," obviously, and then fell over.
It's the sort of pretend fainting that you saw on "Let I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here" when they.
I've got a new stand down performance of the week.
Andy, fucking down.
The Millwall fans, at least they don't watch
that. I will answer for all of this. Is that if you live at home with your missus? And you want to watch as much football as I do, then you have to put up with watching things like
outside and like look at porn or something.
Missus who doesn't want to spend time with you.
Go outside and look at porn.
Yeah, inside, outside, either way.
That's not a good way.
Go and have a pint.
Overtly having a little look at a jazz man, Daniel Silver.
It's fucking outrageous.
Anyway. Can I say congratulations to Steve Lomas? What a fucking result that is last night.
Well, and commiserations on the weekend.
I bet a lot of Millwall fans will probably like,
to have,
they want him out.
Yeah, exactly. If you want a manager out,
I feel sorry for him.
No, I don't feel sorry for him at all. I don't like him.
You're as bad as all the Millwall fans.
Why?
Why
am I as bad as all the Millwall fans?
Well, actually, you weren't.
I don't like
gesturing. You didn't make someone get substituted at the weekend.
The only thing I do like about him is that he's screwing up, or was screwing up, Millwall. Because I don't particularly like Millwall. But other than that, I don't like him.
Be careful what you say about Millwall, mate.
I hope they're not listening, because we're not that far away. But I've got
to listen. They would have had to log onto a computer, which is beyond most of them. They'd have had to have a computer which isn't stolen, which is not going to happen.
Is get anyone getting nervous website. About how this is going?
James Staples, who lives at number 13.
Before, we've mugged off North Korea on this.
Andy, to be fair, we mugged off One Direction last week, and if they're not after us, Millwall.
I'd rather take on Millwall fans than fucking One Direction.
No, because I kind of hit it quite well.
He missed the reserve game.
He did, and apparently One Direction's management don't want him to play anymore because their insurance premium's going through the roof.
Oh, what a shame.
The only way it could be Irish is if they move to Millwall, but, you know. I've got a standout performance from the weekend and from last night. It's our old friend Bill El-Moshny.
Yeah.
He's finally made his debut at Rangers, and he scored. It's our bro.
Of course he did.
In a 5-1 victory.
That's fucking awesome.
Not only that. No, that was in the league, but last night they played Queen of the South in the Cup, and guess what? He scored again!
Where is he playing? Is he playing up front, or is it as a defender?
I think he's playing in defence.
He plays where he likes. He's got 2-2.
Oh, Bill Ellis flying. Jim is dancing around.
I am so happy.
He's doing a bit of the old Terry Butcher, Chris Waddle dancing from Italian Night. He's delighted.
I'm so happy.
Look at his little face.
I've got a standout performance. Edison Cavani. I don't know if anyone saw this clip. I think I showed it to you, States.
With a little chat.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. I tweeted about it as well. But it's one of those moments in football, and I fucking love it. So you'd see it's a small. It's only about a 30-second clip, but you see Cavani before the game at the weekend go up to a mentally disabled. Can you say that now?
That's politically correct.
Mentally disabled young man. I reckon he's got to be sort of early 20s. And you can see him
looks a bit like Cavani as well, to be
honest. He does look, long brown hair. And you can see him asking if he could, gesturing if he can have his shirt, sort of pulling on pulling on his shirt collar. And then you see the sort of.
A bit rude, isn't it?
Not his own shirt collar.
Oh, right.
Obviously saying, can I have your shirt after the game? And at the end of the game...
Cavani asking for this guy's shirt?
No. He's got his own shirt.
He's got his own shirt.
At the end of the game, you see that the clip goes back to Cavani, who makes sure he runs over to the kid, takes his shirt off, gives it to him, gives him a kiss, and you can just see the joy on this kid's face.
Gave him a kiss.
A platonic kiss, I'm trusting.
I'd say there'd be a BBC investigation.
This wasn't four weddings and a funeral.
Four weddings and a
funeral.
That's
an iconic scene in a film. I'm not saying I've ever watched the film, but everyone knows that.
Anyway, really touching moment from Edison Cavani.
We played our own, yeah.
Absolutely.
Four sendings off on a disabled.
He scored as well.
Fucking hell, Stapes.
Okay, Jim. Well, let's go to something more positive. And fair play to Paddy Power, who were backing up Stonewall's campaign at the weekend.
They haven't sent any to Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon.
Have they not?
Not received their laces, apparently.
Well, yeah, it's rainbow-coloured laces in support.
But what is the campaign called?
It's called Get Behind Gay Football.
No, Right Behind Gay
Football. Right Behind Gay Football.
Which is great banter in itself.
Well, I think everyone could take that in the good humour. Is Joey Bob publicly come out and said he'll wear them?
Joey Bob has publicly
come out and said he'll wear them. You couldn't get it out.
Which
isn't what Joey Barton said. But
It's about getting homophobia out of football as well. I think they should have called it Shaft the Homophobia.
Shaft the Homophobia.
I don't know where to go with that.
No, I think we should.
I'm just going to move on to something I'm very disappointed about. Which, remember last week I was really excited to.
Hey, let's go back to that.
No.
Oh, that's right. We haven't really addressed it at all. Joe Barton is a spokesman as well. He was in the Metro newspaper down in London.
We just did say that.
I mentioned Joey Barton.
Fair enough.
It'd be interesting because they're not asking people the connotation might be, oh, if he's wearing rainbow laces, then he's,
no,
he's proud. Yeah, no, no, but some people are stupid now.
I think Joe Barton's made it quite clear. I think if anything,
some of the Paddy Power advertising has actually been misleading, because the slogan that they've gone with is,
we don't care who you,
he might not, he might not play for your side.
We don't care what side you play for, something like that. Yeah.
He'll die for your team.
Some of those lines. And when you read into that, what they're saying is, oh, it doesn't matter that he's not on your side, he plays for your team. So they're saying,
I think Joey Barton doing what he's doing has actually made it quite clear that that's not the way. So it's actually quite good for of him to come out, because he's obviously not gay, he's got a wife and a kid, and you know, to come out and promote it, it's really good.
I think it's important, but yeah, as Jim says, he's got a missus and, you know, the jury's still out.
Does anyone think that Joey Barton's sincere in this, or is it just something to try and clear up his public image?
No, I do think he's sincere. He might have a very contrived public image about trying to be intelligent, but as he said before, I think his uncle's gay, and he feels quite strongly on the subject. And
I think even if it's cynical,
what do you mean, see it through? He doesn't have to actually shag somebody.
Yeah.
Let's see how far Barton will go in proving that he wants to get out. He's got to shag at least one of the QPR team.
So he might be doing it for his own means, but fuck it. It doesn't matter if you don't think that.
No,
okay. Right, that's going a bit too far, and we'll move on. I know at least me and Dan support the campaign in the same way Joey Barton does. But anyway,
thanks for clearing that up as well.
Who cares?
Can we talk about how boring?
No, what we'll talk about is
I was going to say, Jim interrupted me. I run this show. I want to stop it. I was just talking about Kate Verdy. Controversial subject. No.
Right, so Kate Verdy, I was really excited.
It's a really fucking similar topic what I was going to talk about.
Okay, Dan, go on then.
It is, and it's about the fucking Yid word.
Go on.
No, but it's a similar sort of, or very, very similar sort of topic, and it was only Paul Sparrow.
I mean, Paul Sparrow, I'm seeing him mention him every week now,
he asked me what my opinion was, and if I hadn't seen... if I'd listened to David Baddiel's on TalkSport, I agree. I don't know if anyone heard the interview, but I agree and disagree on many of his points. I completely agree that it's very unfair of it's not fair on Jewish supporters of other clubs like West Ham, Chelsea, Arsenal. I'm just starting about the actual
indeed,
debate.
The Arsenal fan who instructed us earlier was a Jewish Arsenal fan.
Right, exactly. And it's not fair on those supporters to be at the grounds where there is anti-Semitic chanting directed at Spurs fans, but it's completely unfair that they completely, obviously, ignore the fact that X amount of their fans are Jewish. It's unfair on that. I don't believe that if Tottenham stop singing it, then it will make everyone else stop doing it. And obviously, my dad's side of the family is Jewish. And there is a very big fan base. But I also agree with his point that if there was a white club in Brixton now, that let's say that used to back in the day call it a predominantly white club now that's based in Brixton that called themselves the N-word army, if they continue to do that to this day, they would be absolute outcry. So why is it fair that? So I do agree and disagree with points. I don't agree with David Cameron sticking his fucking nose in, because what the. Because it got to do with him, and what does he know about it? He's just trying to be cool.
He's just trying to. He's a Aston Villa fan, isn't he? So he knows everything about.
I just don't know why he's getting involved.
He's a Villa fan, like Prince William, but he's tough.
Villa should be better with all the celebrity fans. Yeah.
Lee Charles, the author of all the Jack Reacher books, he's and, like a massive Villa fan.
Richie, you used to be in Five. Obviously, so famous Villa fans.
Anyway, we'll see what happens.
At the end of the day, if Spurs are going to call themselves the Yid Army, or sections of their supporters going to call themselves the Yid Army, then you're calling yourself something. I know that it's all down to interpretation about how opposing fans will then chant against you, but you're bringing on a lot of controversy by going out there in the first way and using a derogatory, something which you're saying is derogatory if someone else calls you that.
Yeah, absolutely. But my point is, I don't think that anyone would stop doing it if Spurs fans stopped doing it.
No, you're right.
Chargers, I think.
Because it's been going on for so bloody long.
Exactly. It's the same with any sort of charity like that. I mean, you get...
But it's interesting that Spurs have written to all of the season ticket holders to see what their opinion is. And I think the majority come back with, we want to get rid of it.
They've written to all of the season ticket holders. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Well, they're trying to do it in a diplomatic way.
Yeah. No one talks about Gillingham, Pikeys.
What about?
It's the same.
Oh, right.
Pikey Army.
Well, they've tried writing to you, but you don't have fixed addresses,
do you? The Pikeys, but that's...
We've got a good song, though. Right. Rather than just Yid Army, you should get better. Right. We can't read, we can't write, we wear golden Nike, we all come from the Medway Towns and we are effing Pikey.
That is a good song. Yeah. That is a good song.
So basically, the way around this is, if Spurs come up with something better than Yid Army, containing the word Yid, gets my thumbs up.
Yeah. Right, okay. No, that's fair.
Yeah. Let's see if anyone gets creative. Listeners, anyone who follows
Chaz and Dave are Spurs fans, aren't they?
Yeah.
they could come up with something.
You know.
Right.
You know.
Okay. That's just the same, though, isn't it?
Fair enough.
Anyway, right, now I'll make my point, because it's not actually as good as that, so fair enough, Dan. You went in there, you made
your
point. But last week I was excited about Cape Verde being on the verge of getting to the World Cup.
He was quite excited about it.
They've been fucking kicked out.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah,
because they fielded an ineligible player. It's the seventh game.
Boy, Brazilian.
It's the he was spending, but it's the seventh game in the African qualifiers that has had the result overturned because a team's fielded an ineligible player.
Why was he ineligible? Where was he from?
He was suspended.
Oh, that's not as good as
so, but the best thing is...
Dave Smith.
Which team did that? It was a team that were just campaigning for people to play on their team.
Ireland with Tony Casarino.
Is it Danny Higginbottom? Or no, who
Danny Higginbottom, I'll go on to him in a minute.
Yeah, might be playing for Gibraltar.
Well, I won't go on to him in a minute now, because you've made...
Well, we might as well. There's no point making a big story out of it.
The interesting thing, because Tunisia are now going to replace them. Tunisia got rid of their manager after they failed to qualify. So they've now got through, they could go to World Cup, so they've had to hire Ruud Krol, who played for Holland in the 74
They've got plenty of time
final.
To get a new manager before 2014.
Well, no, but they need one for the qualifiers that they now have to play. They've got another round of qualifiers.
Yeah, so they've got, got through the
So this guy's technically got them through, but he's quit in shame.
No, he didn't get them through, did he? He actually didn't get him through. They got through on a technicality, so he's still shit.
Well, there you go. That's your opinion. I bet he thinks himself better than that, but you know what? Fuck it. But yeah, Danny Higginbottom, Gibraltar. Two words.
Was it his mum or his granddad?
His mum's Spanish and his uncle's the Gibraltar manager.
That's it. So why not?
It's like Tony Cascarino, isn't it?
Yeah, why not? Have a little runabout.
Yeah, give him a go.
Is John Scales still playing for the beach team? John Scales
played a bit for them. Yeah, I think Ray Clements played in goals for him as well. John Scales actually.
Dave's just got that look in his eye. I've got about 5 minutes left before I've got to go, and I'm just going to try and wind people up.
He's into injury time, I think.
He was like manager or like something.
Oh yeah, no, he was involved.
This is what you don't know, to be honest.
I can't remember.
Quick tenuous link, because Franco just said into injury time, I think.
Yeah.
Mark Housley.
Housley.
And text him Fergie. Do you reckon he thought it was a bird off a back of his peas instead?
No, I think he thought it was Sarah Ferguson.
Why?
Because she's known as Fergie as well.
Why would you want to rather text her as opposed to the black eyed peas one?
She wets herself out of the black eyed peas.
Did you still smash her?
No, I wouldn't. She looks like a Jim Henson creation.
Oh, you would, don't lie.
She does. She looks like she was made in a bloody workshop.
I think it's fucking terrible though that he's come out and said they were mates texting all the time and shit. That's fucking. And it took him a while to get Alex Ferguson's respect, but eventually he got there.
Yeah.
How did you do that then, Mark? How did you go about winning his respect? It's fucking terrible.
To be fair, though, the head of the Referees Association is Mark Riley, who famously used to give his penalties all the time. To be fair, most of the time, for genuine reasons, as all penalties at Old Trafford are given. But, good old times. But anyway, tournament controversy. Who saw what Genoa were up to?
No.
Did you see Genoa were playing Sampdoria in the big Genovese derby at the weekend? Big game in Italy. Genoa sent their goalkeeping coach, apparently dressed like Rambo, to hide in a tree and spy on Sampdoria during training.
Rambo.
Yeah, but in like camouflage. No pictures.
It's got to be the show pictures. No pictures. We've got to get hold of one.
He was caught.
We'll get Coxon in some camouflage here and stick him up out of a tree in a minute.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because we're going to be able to get that in a minute. Just go and buy some camouflage in Canary Wharf. Come on, Dad.
Oh, I'm going to wrap you in that fucking curtain.
Oh, yeah. What?
Where's Alan Shuff playing now?
Alan Shuff. He's still at Leeds, isn't he?
Is he there? No, he's not. Is he?
I think he is.
Well,
yeah.
He must be injured.
But anyway,
just remember talking about the little kid that they blacked up.
Yeah.
We were talking about that the other day.
My favourite show photo.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But Genoa went on to win 3-0, so it clearly worked.
That's
and it was at
brilliant.
Sampdoria, so fair enough.
There was some Champions League football last
There was
night.
Some Champions League football. We haven't spoke about it. Great results for the English clubs. Bad result for Juventus. On the subject of Italian football.
No. Yeah, it's pretty poor. I mean, and they start the season well in
to be fair,
in Serie A,
Copenhagen and El Mugs, I mean, we lost to them the other year, and I think they've got a result off Chelsea at one point as well, but...
They're in the Champions League proper, so they...
Yeah.
But, yeah, bad result for Juventus. Are they going to qualify from that group? Yes,
of course
they
are. Are they going to win it? Almost certainly, but...
Speaking of Champions League, which will link Champions League with lower league, so Stokes, pay attention. Daniel Greenfield, probably my... least favourite person.
He's doing very well in the fantasy football, by the way.
Whatever, I don't care. He asked which was the better goal, Vladimir Vlahovic's last night versus PSG in the Champions League,
top
or
goal.
Brit Amazon Blaganga? I can't say.
Well, it depends which one he's talking about. The
exactly. That's
second,
my point.
The second Brit at Somerville.
For Bristol.
I thought you meant which Brit at Somerville Bunga Dong.
No, it's the left footed outside
that's
outside
not the
box.
One. I guarantee that's not the one he means.
Oh, I thought that was better, though. He plays for Peterborough.
Yeah. Guarantee that's not the one he means. Because the second one was a similar ilk because it was a dribble and a take. And a, did you see Vice's last night? I only looked at it on YouTube. And I think Vice's
two dribbles.
Cuts in from the right hand side of the box. Nutmegs the first guy. And as the other defender's coming across, he does a quick 1-2 shuffle, left foot to right foot, to leave the other defender completely on his arse, and then slips it in the near post, which I think is better than Brit or something.
Well, apparently, as fans of Hollywood football, we haven't seen it. So,
well, yeah, well, and I hadn't until I saw his question, to be honest, I'm not going to lie. I looked it up just so I could spite him and talk about it.
So you mentioned Hollywood football twice in
that. Yeah, he's really bitter.
So blinkered.
Really bitter.
What's this about Hollywood football?
Apparently,
we wouldn't know anything about
football.
Given
football.
That I spend a tremendous amount of my time watching very obscure football.
James spends most amount of his
he said Andy Frampton Jim accepted because apparently if you like a
really?
Premier League football team.
You don't
have a look at anything else. But
because we spend a lot of the time in territory.
It's all right, Dan. We're only
that
very dated.
That left-footed strike was quality. I think the left-footed strike was better than the dribble goal.
It kind of
got a couple of dodgy bounces and bubbles, but no. Vlahovic's goal last night was flair, without a doubt. Yeah, it was great flair.
Gareth Bale scored a goal, didn't he? Hollywood.
He did a tapping. Yeah.
Who?
Discuss.
Who?
Discuss, Dan.
Who?
Anyway, we'll leave that then.
Whatever happened to, I've got a lot of time for Gareth Bale.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough, he leaves us as a legend.
Nah, of course I'm still putting on
Well, speaking of that, Real Madrid last night,
6-1. And he started on the bench.
Whilst we're talking about Brit, the goal he did score his left foot wasn't even the best goal in the Football League.
Yeah.
Have you seen the free kick from the Barnsley player?
Yeah.
Against Nottingham Forest.
You've just started by going...
Well, I was
from now
to
on.
For ages, and then the cops have started off a long.
There's been some good noises.
Can you remember his name?
I can't remember his name.
Thomas. His name's Thomas, and his surname's like Chwek or something like that. If you're a Barnsley fan, let us know how you pronounce
it. Oh, it's Chwicker, isn't it?
Chwicker.
C-W-Y-K-A.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't look like it should be.
Polish player.
He's absolutely smashed it.
He's quite a good player,
35 yards, I'd say. And you will not get a more bullet.
Thomas Schwicker or something. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately for him, Henderson went up there and they won the game 3-2. But absolute bullet of a goal. Bullet of a goal.
Also, fair play. Going back to the lower league, actually. Fair play to Port Vale. They had a really, really good go at Leighton Orient over the weekend.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did you go?
No.
Oh,
no. They went 1-0 up.
Yeah,
they had a proper go at them.
Saw them in 1-0 up.
Well, Orient won it at the end. So, you know.
It was 3-1 though.
Well.
Going over the pond. Across the Atlantic, and I've got this one right.
To Hollywood?
Yes.
Brilliant.
Well,
I'm well into that.
Thierry Henry scored his 400th career goal for the Red Bulls.
And
well, not
just,
for the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Sorry, career goal.
But, goals.
I love that celebration. You can see, like, just leaned up against the post as if to say, fucking hell, I'm knackered.
Yeah.
Like, someone put a JPEG out, didn't they? 400 goals and not one fuck given. Was it?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
landmark
good
goals.
To see.
Michael Coxon, are you going to
also,
mention?
Well, yeah, Wayne Rooney's 200th, but yeah, it's been covered in the papers, hasn't it?
Yeah. I really like the fact that Abidal came out the other day and said that Dani Alves genuinely offered to give him his liver for the transplant. And obviously, he turned around and went, "Are you mad? You're a professional footballer. Don't be so fucking stupid."
I would have liked it if Abidal had taken it, continued his career in Albert, and had to retire in a sick kind of way. I wouldn't have really liked it. I think it would have been quite funny.
Do you not like that?
Nice at all.
No, I do. I think he's a very good player. Well,
yeah, he's a little shit, though.
It would have been, cruel.
Speaking of little shits, yes! Two very naughty boys this week. One Sheffield Wednesday striker Gary Medine, who has been
Gary Medine is not little in
any way. Well, obviously, he likes to fight as well, and he's been going to be jailed very much likely because he's been found guilty of punching two men in separate nightclub attacks. One was a Sheff U fan, and the other one I'm not so sure, but he's been done for assault twice, and he's probably going to be going to prison.
Sheffield,
so very, very, very Sheffield, naughty boy.
Just signed a decent centre back. Yeah, Johnson from Wolves.
Well, yeah, I saw that. I mean, a few years ago, him and Scott Dan were being tipped to get into the England team. Now he's being loaned out by Wolves.
Yeah. Well, they just need him off their wage bill, so they put him into quarantine, basically. Yeah. Just simply not getting in. But he had issues. He started on the goalkeeper last season, I think, didn't he? And Wolves fans sort of turned on him, and so he was never going to get in there. So, I mean, it's best all round that he moved on. So otherwise, he's just going to rot in the reserves and they're paying him God knows how much a week. But he could be a good signing for Sheffield Wednesday. I think he's been under Dave Jones before as well. He would have fought in Cardiff.
Cool, really? Under Dave Jones? Well, yeah. Great place to be.
Got a very, very naughty boy as well.
Yeah.
Stephen Zonzi.
Did he kill someone and feed him to a dog?
Yeah, not as naughty as that boy.
Brazilian goalkeeper.
Yeah. Still a legend.
Yeah.
A legend?
Like Buddy Elder.
Well, yeah, a legend in the naughty boy category.
Okay, you've slightly redeemed that.
Yeah, not. You
give him back his spade that you came around.
Can we just don't condone this sort of
Steve and Zonzi has been identified as the guy who knocked a cyclist off his bike. When asked to exchange insurance details, he just said no. He said, you're on a bike, I'm in a car, it doesn't matter. Didn't give a fuck about it. Didn't even check to see if his car was damaged. And apparently, the cyclist tried to take a picture of the car, and Zonzi just laughed at him and said, you won't trace me because my plates are foreign. And then just fucked off.
Good lad.
Unfortunately, it's a good lad.
It's about time bloody cyclists got their comeuppance.
Did he shout do you know what?
I really nearly took a cyclist out this morning on the way to work. Ooh. I had the headphones in, was crossing the road, and it was, you know, when the traffic's fucking mental and you can just sort of weave in and out. I went to weave, bob and weave, and female cyclist had to put on the brakes so hard that she did nearly fall off.
I took a cyclist out once.
She started having a go at me.
Was that when you and Stephen and Zonzi were off to the cinema?
Yeah, you can't. Ruined that, didn't you?
Well, I did the gag. He just didn't hear it. The listeners will know.
But I need to. She started swearing at me, but I just walked off with my headphones in and said sorry.
What did she say?
She said, "You fucking," and I just didn't hear the rest. I had my headphones in and walked off.
Oh, I've just got it. Sorry, yeah. Though. Very good. Very nice. I've got some naughty boys for you, and they are British footballers Joe Woolley and Reece Nowell.
You complete prick.
Oh, sorry for looking up things.
Well,
sorry.
No, you completely. Whereabouts is this news from, Mike?
This news from Australia, which is I thought news from might Australia, Mike? Quite nice.
Is it news from Australia?
No, but it's not Melbourne Heart.
Yeah, but it's from Australia.
Wait, we need a parachute to come down to the table.
Yeah, we could
actually
do with it.
If they did, they might get.
To be honest, with the severe lack of heart news we've had in recent weeks, Michael.
We've had a lot more the last 3 weeks. Have you gone back?
The last 3 weeks?
Dan's taken that straight to heart.
I have.
Not meant to do that every week, Dad. Anyway, Joe.
I have the last 3 weeks, Michael. So you're wrong. Anyway,
it's been a good
off. That's my news.
No, it's not. It's my show. You've already interrupted me.
It's not your show.
It's not the first time he said that.
He said that 4 times today when you walked off for a bit. He says my show.
I'm only learning from Jim.
My show. I don't actually. As much as Cox. Sorry, is an arsehole, he's never once said it was his show.
No, it's definitely not. It's
never once.
This show's going to be called the Michael Coffin Show, I hope.
Right. Then, can we just do like 45 minutes of just silence?
There's a Rambo now.
How about 45 minutes of tumbleweed if it's the Mike Coffin Show?
Well, that's a good start for it anyway. But yeah, Joe Woolley and Reece Nowell. Joe Woolley and Reece Nowell, ex-Hornchurch players, are amongst 6 charged playing for South Stars in the Victoria Premier League, or Southern Stars. They were playing the Isthmian League, yeah. It's a Malaysian businessman who's acted as a go-between. Very naughty, 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 kind of naughty. Go on, Dan, tell us some news.
What do they do?
Match fixing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
After all that, he didn't even get the fucking punch line right, did he?
I did say he did match fixing.
I missed that as well.
I think if you listen back, you'll hear that I said match fixing.
Well, no one's going to listen back.
I will, because it's my show, so it's mine.
I'm going to finish with Hart in a minute, but my two favourite clips of the week so far, just finishing off. One is
just quickly,
Frank Ribery.
I don't think, have Hart played a game?
No, no, it's October. Month, yeah.
When they do, yeah. First time they lose,
right.
Headline, heart failure. Because nice. I don't think we've ever done that.
No, you're right, actually.
No, and we should do.
Do you know yeah. what? You should have just kept that to yourself.
He likes to share. He likes to share.
No, she just held on to it.
Did anyone yeah. see, I sent this, took the tapes earlier today, yesterday or today, Frank Ribery scaring the shit out of people. Anyone see
no.
it?
No.
If you look at this.
Heart attack.
Oi! What are you doing? Have this conversation later. If you say, have a look up Frank Ribery standing in a shop window pretending to be a mannequin. I'm not
what,
sure
you want people to type that into YouTube.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm not even sure what he's promoting, but he stood there pretending to be a mannequin. As soon
it
as people got close,
Adidas or Nike.
Was it? Yeah. And he actually gave, just scared the shit out of people, just jumping at them.
Did he need to move?
Well, this is it. I think the tagline is when you thought Frank Ribery was scary enough. But then
to crush this dummy,
I think they should get the Gillingham striker to do that. Now that would scare the fuck out of people.
Did you see?
Oh my god!
Last one. Did you see Red Bull Leipzig's fucking awesome goal? We saw it as well. Yes. It is. If you look that up as well, German third division club Red Bull Leipzig have got a whole new tactic from kickoff. It is fucking brilliant. They had about, I think they had 8 of the players standing on the halfway line, ready to run. The ball's been played back to one player who stopped it. Quarterback style, the centre half, I think, has punted it up the pitch. They've all the other players have legged it into the penalty.
The ball's come down. Edge of the penalty. Yeah.
One guy's flicked it on, the other guy scored. It's probably one of the best goals ever. Oh, massive. Fucking awesome.
Coxon yeah. tweeted from his football podcast.
I will.
But if you actually look at it, as I said to Dan, it shouldn't be allowed because when they take the kick off.
Just encroaching, weren't they?
There's a. Who are they called? Red Bull
Leipzig.
Although they're not allowed to be called Red Bull, so they're called something else. RB Leipzig.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, they're not allowed it in the
well, let's. We've got the hard news, and then finally we've got something else.
Two bits of news from down under. Well, apart from the match fixing. Harry Kewell scored against 10-man Perth Glory in a 1-1 draw, but which was very, very ill-tempered. Pre-season friendly. The referee gave 9 yellows in a pre-season friendly, including 2 to one player who got sent off. Well, yeah. What?
Any reds?
Well, when you know what to 10-man Perth Glory, probably. Fuck's sake! You've just been phasing in and out today, haven't you? You haven't really been paying attention. Yeah.
At least
there's no punchline. I'm telling you what happened with fucking Melbourne Heart.
Get on with it.
God, I'm angry this week. But the other big news, you know, there was signing a striker. There was rumours. They have signed a striker. They've signed Malta captain Michael Mifsud.
Ex-Coventry.
Ex-Coventry. He's fucking tiny.
Scored against Man United, didn't he?
He scored twice.
Twice.
Good knowledge. Yeah.
1.65 years. He is absolutely teeny tiny.
I've met
him. Have you actually?
And I know his agent.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice lad?
No.
No, fantastic.
They've signed him on a 1-year deal. They love a 1-year deal, Hart. I suppose maybe because
that's because everyone keeps trying to buy the
fucking
club.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to retire after the year as well, aren't they? They're all at bloody. How old's he now?
Michael Misford, 29, I think he was.
No, he must be older than that.
I'm not sure if he was.
I think he must be in his 30s by now.
Either way,
but we'll look it up.
He just got his 99th cap for Malta, and now he's
he's on the verge.
On heart.
He's on the verge.
So yeah, there we go.
Well, to finish off finally,
fucking hell.
After weeks of promising, we've got the iTunes reviews.
What have we banged on about for 48 minutes?
We've just argued, really.
I think we've been nasty to each other.
I like Dan as well. I even introduced him as my friend at the start.
I think that's where we went wrong.
That's changed.
Do you want
now.
To retract that?
But we've got... No, I don't. Of course not.
Thanks,
it's a lovely tip. Wade's shoelaces.
We'll kiss and make up later.
So we've got our iTunes reviews. The first one is from... ARPM, which is 5 stars.
It says, so.
Hard to find in top 100 podcasts. That's probably because we're not in there.
I really like the faith that he tried to find us in the top 100 to start.
But he said, as hard as it is to find, it's worth looking for and listening to. The second one is from Malcolm Meatball, and I assume that's his real name.
I hope
again,
it is.
5 stars.
Campbell. Yeah. Malcolm Campbell. What was he? I reckon it will.
Yeah. Five stars again.
Or he might be faggot. He just decides to call himself Meatball.
I think we've just lost this.
Yeah, although you are talking about the Belgian food stuff rather than the stuff Paddy Power again.
Yes, yeah. Obviously, I've gone from Meatballs to faggot.
Where your shoelaces? Anyway, Mr. Meatball says it's a cracking show. Well, you've got to specify these things.
No, just keep going, Coxon. Just keep going. Just keep going.
He said you're going to do the reviews.
No. Steadily rising to the top of his football podcast's list.
But I remember reading this one because I was going to read these out.
But we didn't know the names.
Yeah.
We didn't want to read it out. Where's he living in?
He's living in China.
Living in China.
He moved there in 2005 from Huddersfield.
Hang on. Sorry. Slowly moving up the list of his favourite podcasts.
Apparently, we're neck and neck with the Ramble.
I'll take that.
Is the Ramble still going?
Apparently, yeah.
Fair play to them.
They're doing very well, the boys. Good luck to them.
No, they were doing well. I don't think they're doing as well.
Oh, they're still doing quite well. They still get a lot of followers, yeah.
Have they left their normal jobs yet?
I don't think quite.
So they're not doing that well?
No.
What happened with the award show?
Hang on. I'm going to go on to that in a minute, you prick.
No, but the
high is Meatballs. Yeah. This is Meatballs moment.
Listen to Meatballs.
Well, let me tell you what I know, first of all. He was living there, so he's living in China.
Living in China.
And he's basically saying that he goes down to the pub once a week, because he's out there and he can't get much sort of football banter away.
Yeah.
So he gets down there and he listens to, obviously he listens to our podcast amongst others, but he goes to the pub, saves it for Friday, listens to it.
Well, over a pint?
Yeah.
That's quite nice, that.
That's lovely. I tell that. That's my like missus and she was top.
Yeah. I really like him.
Poor bastard. Right, has to sit with us every week.
Yeah. Well,
Malcolm Meatball, if you're listening to this now, when you're in the pub,
raise a glass to us.
You're round, mate. Yeah, you're round.
But even better on his review, he goes on, he met up recently with former Scunthorpe.
Carlton Palmer.
And, well, him as well.
He did.
Yeah, right. He met up with former Scunthorpe and Perth Glory striker Daniel Mabrie, who's out here on loan, and Carlton Palmer.
There we go.
Who's the sporting director at that?
Did he appear out of the bath?
I hope so. But
he mentioned
the podcast to them, and he's hoping that.
I thought you were going
to
say Colin Palmer mentioned the podcast then.
He didn't. But he said, keep up the good works. He said he'll send his complaints to Simon Head. He's joined the Fancy Football League. That's brilliant. Any reviews?
What's he complaining about?
He's just making a joke. Colin Palmer about our podcast.
To listen to us.
Have you not tweeted Colin Palmer yet?
Not yet, no. I was waiting until we'd spoken about it on the show before.
Fucking hell, Coxon.
I couldn't ruin the secret like Jim did. Sorry, we can't all get our words out excellently like you do on every anecdote.
No, but you at least take the piss out of me.
Anyway, I think that could end it for the show because me and Don are going to go outside and box.
Well, we haven't got any more reviews.
No, we've got to. Send them in. We will read them out. It might take some. Anyway.
It only took us 4 weeks to get them out.
Why would you fucking send
in
a review in if you're not going to talk about it?
Because
we
were
saying what is wrong with you? Right, you're right, Coxon. Yeah. I'm going to take Franco out and beat him. Cause
fantastic, let's do it together. Right, so you can email us, and it's m.j.coxon@hotmail.com. It's my show, Facebook.com/m.j.coxon. Visit us, I don't have a website, and follow us on Twitter, @MichaelCoxon. As Andy mentioned, it is the Football Blogging Awards. We would love it if you could nominate us to win Best Podcast.
Would you rather they nominate us or do a review? One or the other.
I think nominate us. I think Dan
would be greedy and just get.
I think Dan really wants me to
nominate.
Pike,
knowing that
so.
They definitely we win, nominate. Nominate or review on the off chance.
Oh yeah,
just review.
If someone nominates us, can you mention them on the show?
No, we can't.
Do us reviews. Anyway, enjoy.
I want to go to Liverpool.
It's been a pleasure. We're off for a Barney. See you later.